B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So if I was to tell you who told me that and exactly how they know it, nobody out there would question the correctness of my report. It's that good a source.
Wow.
And I just know that if you guys knew who it was, you would trust it as well.
So that was more with Gary Myers with Beadle and Zolak this morning. And on that one, I just have conspiracy theories that I don't know how important it is, because I trust Gary Myers' reporting. I think there were real problems there with Brady and, several facets of the Patriots organization over the last couple of years. And I know it because Tom Brady left to go to Tampa. I'm not fighting that anymore like you folks still seem to be. But when he phrased it like that, Maz, if I told you who it was, there'd be no question about the validity of this report. To me, that goes beyond Tom Brady's father or someone in Tom Brady's camp who I think Gary Myers is close with. And I think that Tom Brady's camp and father has done a lot of talking. And I think that it's entirely possible they're part of the people that Gary Myers speaks to. But when he says it like that, that to me speaks to a principle, a principle in the story. And then I always go and say, well, who benefits from a certain story? Who benefits from this? And I don't think McDaniels or Brady benefited from that reporting yesterday, because it either makes Brady look petty and like a diva, or it makes McDaniels look like another guy that drove the greatest player in the history of the sport out of his team. So I don't think McDaniels or Brady are benefited by that. I do think Bill benefits by it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I immediately thought Bill, for lots of reasons, is that, again, it gives him an alibi. Hey, it wasn't just me. It was also Josh. You know, everybody had problems with Brady. And then I do draw a line between Belichick and Gary Myers, being that Myers was a longtime New York guy. Bill began his career there. His roots were in New York with the Giants. I mean, to me, that's where I went immediately. To me, it's either Bill or someone in Bill's immediate circle.
So I think someone in that immediate circle is Joe Judge, who's now the head coach of the New York Giants. And it would behoove him to also, say good things about the coaching staff that he just came from. Now he's starting a new operation there. And, it looks like Brady's the bad guy, right? Like, he gives him that kind of information. He says to him, look, I was part of that coaching staff. And Tom went kind of rogue there at the end. What were we to do? So, there was friction there between he and another guy from that staff, Josh McDaniels, who I also hope will get an opportunity someday to be a head coach. I just think that it helps Bill and that narrative for someone like Joe Judge, who was part of that circle, who Bill helped get that job in New York, if he's the one who said it. That's who I immediately thought of.
Well, it's possible, Murray, but when Myers says, if I told you who it was, there wouldn't be any question. So, like, he's really implying a heavy hitter there. Like, he's implying, to me, it implies someone even bigger than Joe Judge or Tom Brady Sr. That's just the way I read it. And again, I do think that it helps Bill, in that Bill's catching a lot of grief for driving Tom Brady out of town. And it's real easy for Bill to say, well, look, he didn't have much of a relationship with the offensive coordinator by the end either. It wasn't, don't look at me. He couldn't stand Josh either. And it would also behoove Kraft a little bit, because Kraft has hitched his wagon to Bill. He has chosen Bill over Brady in this, and Kraft's legacy has taken a hit. So if someone asks Robert, how the hell do you let Tom Brady walk out the door and, keep Bill Belichick? Robert says, well, he wasn't so hot with the offensive coordinator either. It wasn't just Bill. He had problems with a lot of people. And so I think it deflects a little bit and helps those guys. Again, I'm not sure it really matters, because I think it's true no matter what the sourcing is here. I believe it. I know it, because Tom Brady left. So I think all that stuff behind the scenes has largely been proven true. But I think it does help Belichick just a little bit. All right, to your calls on all of this. A lot of you have been waiting really patiently, including Anthony and Waltham. Thanks for hanging on, Anthony. Go ahead. What do you got?
I think Belichick's going to get exposed when he has Jarrett Stidham to go against Patrick Mahomes. And we all know Andy Reid's lit up Bill's defense, and so is Greg Roman. Mobile quarterbacks are his enemy, and I think he's going to get exposed.
Okay, Anthony, we'll see. Last year when he had the greatest quarterback of all time and he faced Kansas City, I think he scored 13 points. What was the final of that game again? So, I don't know, can he improve on that? It wasn't, even with the greatest quarterback of all time, it's like they were putting up points on the board at the end of last season.
Good point.
Thank you.
But I'll tell you, he does. He the caller raises a good point, though, that, you know, even if, let's say Stidham is pretty good, okay, and again, and the offense gets better, Bill hasn't been able to stop the Chiefs for a while now. Now, look, they did a little bit better last year. Mahomes was injured, though, coming back at that time, if I remember right. You know, they've had a hard time stopping Andy Reid.
Okay, I also raised some questions earlier about the Patriots' popularity post-Brady. Charlie in Attleboro wants to weigh in on that. Thanks for hanging on. Charlie, what do you got?
No problem. So I'm 19, and I was at the Patriots-Titans game during the playoffs. And when I was there, a lot of people were calling it, you know, they went to see Tom Brady's last game. And no one really said it was a Patriots playoff game. So I think people are aiming, until Brady retires, they'll be keeping their eye on him more than the Patriots.
Okay, so again, if you want to be passionate about the divorce and pick a side and root for Brady over the Patriots, like that, that doesn't bother me as much because that's still passionate engagement in football, and it's something a hardcore football fan would do. You'd take a side and fine, make it personal. But what, disown the Patriots for life or not be as passionate about the Patriots just because Brady isn't here, you know, in the long term? That would really disappoint me, Maz. That would really disappoint me if we were just a fair weather town. If it just turned out this era was a bunch of pink hats down there, that would gross me out.
Okay, so I don't think that that's what it is. It's not impossible that that would happen, and because I think largely it's going to depend on how the team does. So if Bill gets off to a bad start, and when I say bad start, I mean 2 years now. You know, they were to go, let's just say 6-10 and 7-9 or 6-10 and 5-11 maybe. And all of a sudden people go, whoa, and Stidham looks like he can't play and then Bill's gone. Then I think you might see a little bit of a drop. But even then, I still think that the Patriots mean so much to the region now that the Crafts would bring in someone who would have the credibility to elevate them again. I just think too much has been accomplished over this 20 years for people to just give up on it.
Josh in Sutton. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Felger. How's it going? Two quick points. First of all, who cares about baseball? Baseball could not be more irrelevant. No one cares about baseball. Second, about the Patriots' loyalty. The Bruins have possibly the most loyal fan base in all of sports. And the Green Teamers, these idiots rallied behind Isaiah Thomas, a 4'10" point guard they thought was the savior. And after the whole world realized he sucks, still this season the Celtics fans were begging for him to re-sign. And he blows. So, yes, this city will be loyal to the Patriots. You hear it all the time. And Bill, we trust. And Bill, we trust. Okay. They will be here, Felger. Don't you worry about it.
Okay, it's got to transcend Belichick, too, now. I mean, it just can't be for the next 3, 4, 5 years, and then what? I'm talking about, and maybe there's some other examples, but, you know, in Denver, in Green Bay, in Chicago, in Pittsburgh, those are, you know, whether they have a couple down years or not, there's tens of thousands on the waiting list. They are passionate fans that if the team just comes back even just a little bit and is competitive, that team drives the town. It's the heartbeat of the town. It's in the DNA of the town. Is that what the Patriots are now, no matter what?
Well, so look, Pittsburgh's a great example, right? I mean, that, you know, Pittsburgh's a benchmark. They're just football crazy, and they've been for decades. So let me just ask you out of curiosity, what is San Francisco in your mind?
Right. So that's a good example. They're not. They're the wine and cheese crowd. They're, you know, they'll be Niners fans just as well as they would be Golden State Warriors fans. It's like, it's not football, basketball. It's whatever. They're good, and so it's a fine take, and we'll do it. But that Niners run in the 80s did not turn San Francisco into a football town, quote unquote. They're huge for the Giants. You know, I don't know if the Niners are the heartbeat of that city. I don't know if they ever were the heartbeat of that city.
So I think the Patriots, though, are going to be here for good. And because I don't think that people here are going back to baseball, at least not with the way it's played now. And I don't know that the other two sports are strong enough to overtake it. So the whole area has been spoiled. We know that. So I think people got to temper their expectations, but I think football's too important here now.
Tony in Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing? You know, I understand you sticking up for this guy. I can't think of his name that you were just quoting and everything. You're in the same business.
Gary Myers.
But you know what you're doing? You're calling Brady a liar. You're calling McDaniel a liar.
Sports fib. Sports fib, Tony. That's not lying. It's sports fibbing.
A All right, but they both came out and denied the story, and I believe them.
I don't.
And I'll tell you. Now you say, how many victories are they going to have next year?
I got them at 10, a path to 10 wins, Tony. You haven't heard it?
I heard it. I just want to hear you say it again. I got a deal for you.
Okay.
I'll take the three of you to dinner, lunch, if they win 10 games. They win less, you take me to lunch.
Okay, done.
All right, you got it. We'll be talking, buddy.
I look forward to it, Tony, okay?
Well, wait a minute, though.
It'll have to be a touchless drop-off lunch.
Yeah, Zoom lunch. I think they're going 7-9, so I don't know how I get snickered into that one. Fine, I'll play along.
No. I'm paying. I'm obviously responsible.
I'll play along, even though I agree with that guy, and he rips my nuts off every chance he gets.
It's my stupid path to 10 victories, so I'm responsible. James in Rhode Island. Go, James.
Oh, hey. So, yeah, I'm 32 years old. When Brady came, I was in middle school, and there was no Patriot fans. Everyone was either Steelers or Niners, or like myself, I'm a Cowboys fan. I didn't hop off the bandwagon like everybody else did. And what's going to happen, I think Maz was right, about 20% less people are going to watch this, because there ain't no wives and girlfriends going to be wanting to watch some 5-11 team, and just half these people I know are just casuals anyway. I don't see it holding up.
Okay, so you are new money. When it comes to football, you're new money.
Gatsby.
You are, traditionally one of the great baseball markets in the entire country, where baseball was the driver and the most important thing in this town for like 100 years. That's not even really that much of an exaggeration. It was almost 100 years where it was the driver in this town, and it was, you and St. Louis and maybe you make the case for New York, but you and just two or three markets where baseball was more important than football, and that was you. And then the Brady Belichick thing happened. And so now we're an NFL market, we're a football market. I don't know why it came to me today. Maybe those jersey sales. I see Tom Brady's Tampa jersey leading the way, five different variations of pewter, vapor, whatever, nonsense. Or maybe the fact you're the secondary ticket sales, you're way down. You're down 40% from last year, and Tampa Bay's up 135%. I don't know what it was. That just got me a little worried today, Maz, that, the Pats really hadn't taken over. And if what was the real pink hat quotient of Patriots fandom the last 20 years just because it was Tom Brady?
And okay, so again, at the peak, I told you, I think it was approaching 20%. Because the fraud factor is huge. Again, you're going to get a lot of people who jump in there just because, Tom Brady, I think he's cute. you get that. You do. You get that sort of crap in there. And if Stidham is good, you'll get some of that again. But it's going to, and if the team's good, you'll get some of that again. But the fraud factor is always there when you're talking about a dynasty, for crying out loud. They were the hottest thing going. They were the hottest thing going for the longest time. Like, of course you're going to get a fraud factor.
So, I'll take a little. I understand on the margins it's going to dip. I got that. But is this really the generational team, the driver in town that's the heartbeat of the city, like the Steelers are the heartbeat of that city? Can I count on that here in New England with the Patriots? And that I'm just starting to question. I don't have an answer on it yet, but I did start to question it today. We'll continue with your thoughts right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
If you put the truth serum in Josh McDaniels' arm and said, who are you more loyal to? He's going to say Bill Belichick. Coaches are coaches. Players are players. Josh, look, I don't think the offensive coaches were ever over the moon about the utility that they had at their expense this year, but he's still a coach. I think that he would certainly side with Bill Belichick first, but say, look, we could have done better on some things.
Tom Curran last night on NBC Sports Boston. I can translate. McDaniels hated the weapons too. Think he left a little high and dry. But at the end of the day, he's not going to go against Bill Belichick. Take Brady's side and go against Bill Belichick and butt heads with his boss, the most powerful coach in, you know, the NFL. He ain't doing that. And so at the end of the day, what Belichick wanted is what Josh did. And so I think, again, Brady's problems with McDaniels were really his problems with Belichick. And Josh was just in the middle. If Josh used to be the good guy, the buffer, he no longer was that last year. And so Brady was fighting both of them last year, Belichick and McDaniels, Maz.
Well, so again, Murray put it well, too, as you pointed out, that, you know, up until then, McDaniels was someone that Brady, you know, had on his side, that he could bitch to and get some level of sympathy or empathy from, like, yeah, I hear you, you know, totally. And then somewhere along the line, McDaniels started to say, well, yeah, but Tom, we are where we are, and we've got to do it this way now. And Brady just felt like he lost McDaniels in there somewhere. And, you know, the gap between Brady and the organization or the team on the field or both grew bigger at that time.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. We've got Mike and Milton on the Myers Report. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm not disputing the fact that there was friction. Obviously, there was friction. I mean, it's so obvious. But, Maz, the source might be Bill, but that doesn't matter anyway. The narrative is literally in direct support of what Bill, you know, of Bill's narrative. It's completely in support of him. And then as far as the fandom goes,
so Mike, my point is this.
Are young.
Mike, I'm sorry to cut you off, but my point is this, okay? Independent of who the source is, do you believe that there were problems internally and that Brady was having problems with the coaching staff?
I believe there was problems internally and Brady was having problems with Bill. And I did want to remind you, remember that the documentary where Bill was just all over Josh? I mean, he's basically in Josh's nuts, you know, talking about what an unbelievable coach he is. So he was clearly working it from that end. But I still think we don't know for sure who was the bigger pain in the ass, whether it be Bill or Tom. And I just think that to say the source doesn't matter also says that you don't really, you know, you're saying that it directly supports that Brady was a pain in the ass.
No. Well, hold on. But Mike, this is what I said. I think it absolutely helps Bill's case. This is why I think it's absolutely possible that Bill could be a source in this. And it doesn't matter in terms of my believing it or not is what I meant. It matters in terms of who's trying to shape the narrative.
I mean,
I believe it either way, you know, regardless whether Bill's a source or not. But anyway, what's your second thing?
So my second thing was on the fandom. The fans are young, like a huge portion, like myself. I'm 31, so, you know, we're all giving our age today. So, you don't know what we're going to do because we're first time fans. The old timers all have second teams that they were supporting before the Patriots were good. So that, you know, you might get a drop off in both of those demographics.
Okay, so I'm not the ones that came before this. You know, who were Giants fans and had to pick other teams, like those are, they might go back and forth because they came to the Patriots late anyway, or the Patriots were their second team anyway, like that. I can sort of get that. The 30-year-old who only knows the Patriots, right? You know, this Belichick-Brady thing began when they were 10. Like, if you switch to another team or don't have your same passion, that's going to disappoint me. Again, the Steeler fan, it's always been a good football market, right? Like, it's in the water there, but the Steeler Nation began in the 70s with that run, and they never really lost it. It exists today, and this isn't, you know, and they obviously don't win every year, and they obviously don't even make the playoffs every year, and they have, you know, they've had little down periods here and there, but for the most part, that thing they had in the 70s, they have today. It exists, and
that should make you feel good about the Patriots and their fan base going forward, because that just one decade, and let alone not two, of dominance has led them to become one of, if not the best, sustainable franchises in the NFL in terms of fan support.
And this is what I want, and I think it starts with the ownership there in Pittsburgh. The Rooneys have been really steady, consistent, good family ownership for generations. I think Green Bay is the same way. It's the same, that sort of fandom is the same as when I was 5 years old as I am today. It's the same, and they don't have an owner, but they have the same ownership structure that is steady, consistent. So hopefully the Crafts and Jonathan, and they continue that. that. And if they do, if they live in, up to their end of the bargain, where they are a consistent product for the next years and generation and decades, will we be what Pittsburgh is today? And that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm just not sure we are. And it bugs me to think that people are going to sort of abandon the team this year if they're just good but not great. That would annoy me.
So I'm less worried about the older fan than I am the younger fan. And, you know, the people that were Giants fans here for a long period of time, hell, a lot of that stemmed from before the time the Patriots even existed.
Yes.
For crying out loud. Once the Patriots came along, I felt like those people became Patriots fans. And so might they have their hand on another team? Sure. But the young people are the ones that I'm worried about. Because, frankly, I don't think they know how to lose. This is the part I'm worried is, you know, they think that if you're not in contention for a championship every year, that somehow that's a massive failure and they're going to go play video games or watch something else. And so that's the part that I, you know, to me, I look at and say, if there is a, if this thing were to quote unquote fall on itself and collapse, it'll be because those people can't accept 10-6 and making the playoffs because they've been too damn spoiled.
Right. Again, you know, just 10-6 and winning the division is a good year. It's a good year. It's a good year. Now, if you do that, you know, for 25 straight years and never break through, you can get annoyed. But just as a one-off, as sort of like a baseline, winning the division, good. Not bad. Good. Tom and Quincy on our Major League Baseball conversation before, the owners and players going back and forth. What do you think, Tommy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Honestly, after hearing the comments by Boris and Tony Clark today, I'm losing faith by the minute that they will actually play any games this year. Because, one, whenever you get Scott Boris as the first person to interject himself into anything, him and his punchable face, every time he pops on my screen, I want to whip a bear at it. He's so annoying. So annoying because he jumps out front like he's the one that can make the rules. He doesn't run the MLBPA.
He's an agent.
He's a friggin' agent, but his ego is so massive, and it's been built up by everyone else in MLB, the players especially. I mean, not too many guys lose any pennies when he's in, when he's running your show, but he comes off as such an arrogant prick that you feel that you're like, you know what? As much as I love baseball, when this guy is the front, right, he's the one out front of this first, of course, because he's an egomaniac. When he's the guy out front, first one I hear from gives me no faith that they're going to come to some kind of agreement on this because he's already bitching and moaning saying that they're not going to negotiate when he's the one that doesn't have the right to do it.
Right, Tom. It's just the tone. It makes you root against the players. It makes you root for the players to get theirs, to get screwed on this. Oh, if that's how you're going to come out day one, like it's some sort of regular CBA negotiation, you know, we're not going to renegotiate that. We're not taking your salary cap, as opposed to showing some acknowledgement or appreciation for the situation that the world is in. And, oh, by the way, the unique circumstances that you're in, instead, you're going to get your back up immediately and start firing like you would as if there were some normal CBA. You root against the players and you hope that they, you know, you want them to get theirs. As much as you want the game back, it leads you to say, well, I actually hope you get screwed now.
Oh, I mean, again, I feel that way about the Baseball Players Association for sure. I don't know how you don't. It is, they're just woefully out of touch. And this idea that everything is, you know, DEFCON 1, that, you know, here we go, they want the salary. No. Can you guys slow down? We're in the middle of a pandemic. You know, there are people losing their jobs all over the place. And just the idea that they are not in tune with that blows me away. And I find, again, I genuinely find insulting. I feel that given what's going on out there, I do. I feel like it's a new low for the Baseball Players Union. And this idea that we're the ones taking the risk. All right, well, if it's about the risk, then don't play. You get no money.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with, right, it has nothing to do with revenue share or prorated salary. It has nothing to do with anything. Then don't play, exactly.
Right, so don't give me the risk thing. The risk thing's a totally separate argument. Well, we're taking the risk. Okay, so you'll take the risk for a $10 million salary, but you won't for $8 million. So is that the deal? So is it about the risk or is it about the money? It's about the money. And the fact that they would dig in on this, and you know, when I say dig in, it's fine. It's a negotiation. You've made that point. The fact that they would take it to that level and act insulted right out of the chute, to me, is a massive turnoff and brings them to a new low. It is a new low.
Here comes Murray's update. We're back with one final segment of your tremendous phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The bottom line, like you said, is I really believe that Belichick wanted to move on from Tom, and I really believe that Brady wanted to move on from Belichick. Now, why did they feel that way? Well, that's where you get all these, you know, the different factors that led up to each of them feeling that way. You know, Belichick probably saw a decline in Tom's skill set. Maybe he realized he was more stubborn than he had been in the past. Maybe he just felt it was like with so many other players that have been in New England to make the break from them a year too soon than a year too late. And from Tom's point of view, he might say, you know what? I'm just not having fun anymore. This has become a grind. I'm dreading going to work. Look, Josh McDaniels was always my buffer between myself and Belichick, and now, you know, Bill is pressuring him more to do things his way, and I have no say in the game plan or not as much say as I want. So there could be like five things on each side that led up to the fact that Bill didn't want Tom anymore and Tom didn't want Bill anymore. And the result is that Tom is going to Tampa.
Again, Gary Myers with Zolak and Bertrand this morning. Catch the replay on our app or the website, 985thesportshub.com. Wrap it up with your phone calls here. We got David in Boston. He joins us next. Hi, David.
Hi. Yeah, I think all this stuff is true, and people want to blame someone, but I think if Brady was still married, if Brady stayed with Bridget Moynihan, none of this would have happened. For 8 years, Giselle's been whispering in his ear how he's unappreciated, how, oh, Wes Welker can't catch the passes. And I think she totally changed. And I'm, you know, I think she totally changed them. And I think Brady changed. I'll still root for Brady, not as much the Patriots. But I think if it wasn't for her, I think she was whispering in his ear, spend more time with the family. You know, she. So
forget
I blame it all on.
Okay, Dave. The family thing is bullcrap. The family thing I reject. I think it's gross that Brady even brings it up. Okay, I reject that. Now, did Giselle? Did Giselle influence his worldview the longer they were together? I think that's possible. Giselle's
yes.
used to...
Oh, for sure.
Right. Giselle's... She's a superstar who works under guaranteed contracts, gets paid what she's worth, doesn't have to get browbeaten or bullied by some boss. You know, she's the boss. What they say they're going to pay her, they pay her. You know, so she has this in her world... You don't get treated like an NFL player does, a football player does, and she was probably chirping at him, like, you're better than this, you deserve more than this, and did he come to believe it? So, like, I think that's entirely possible, but don't give me, like, the family thing, would you please?
No, because if that's true, then, like, what about every other wife of every other player? You know, it's like, you know, look, to me, it's about she changed the way Brady viewed his role in the operation. That's how I, you know, she started telling him, you know, you don't take yourself seriously enough. You're more important than you are acting. And so you need to start standing up for yourself. And look, in some ways, that's a good thing. You know, if she had a positive influence as a human being, then so be it. But it adversely affected the Patriots.
Frankly, I think it was everyone around Tom that was sort of pushing him in that direction. Like, he proved that he could put up with Bill's crap for a long time. He did 10, 12, 15 years, you know, and thrived under it. But... His wife probably felt, you know, you don't deserve this. You should be treated better. His father clearly, you know, you could tell, felt he deserved better. And Tom Sr. didn't like the way his son was being treated. His trainer was probably in his ear. He won't let me do this. He won't let me do that. We're trying to get this business, and he won't let us do that. So that guy's in his ear. His agent, certainly, you know, is always in your ear. And so I think all that sort of added up and, you know, ultimately pushed him to where I don't know if he would have gone on his own. You know, if he just lived in a vacuum, he'd still be showing up taking it every day like he has in the past. Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm wondering how you think fans will feel about the team, or Belichick specifically, if they don't get back to or win another Super Bowl and Brady does. And what if they never get back? It would certainly answer the question of who is more important in my mind.
It would. And never's a strong word. I mean, that's not like they're never going to get back to a Super Bowl. That's, you know. But in the short term, yeah, it would show you that Bill couldn't win without Brady, and then we'd have that. Don't tell me that's going to – and, you know, if they find another coach or a competitive team and put out a good, consistent product, don't tell me that's going to hurt the long-term popularity of the team. I mean, it'll settle some arguments in the short term, fine. And as long as we're all engaged and passionate about it, great. No problem. Just don't tell me you're going to be a good team year in, year out. Just not win at the level you won under Tom Brady, and somehow the team won't be as popular. That would disappoint me. That is just, again, the pink hatism of one star. Like, come on. Greg and Lincoln, Greg.
Ready? Look at what they're doing.
Gregory.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Greg. Okay. He's ignored us.
Dumbass.
Yeah, for some reason. Dave in Watertown. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys, I agree with you, and I don't know who it was that did this to Brady, but somewhere after that Atlanta Super Bowl, the great teammate Tom Brady died, and in his place we have this new diva Brady who's obsessed with smelling his own farts. I mean, it's become unbelievable with how it's become so Brady-centric. If you took the names out of this story, all the names at all sides, you would think it's like LeBron or something. So he's one of my favorite players. I wish him the best in Tampa, but, I mean, he really became dysfunctional here at the end.
Okay, he got brawny. He didn't go full LeBron. Let's not go overboard.
No. Look, and that's a good point to make too. Like, just because he wasn't the same guy anymore doesn't mean he like went so far over the edge that he became some absolute egomaniacal tyrant. Like, you know, given what he's accomplished, he kept himself in check pretty well.
Right, and I just think by his standards, he went off the deep, meaning he was such an exemplary teammate and selfless guy and team first and winning first. And, you know, we forget the first 10 years, you know, ish in that time frame, he turned. Remember how many ads he used to turn down and how selective he was with his marketing and how little that meant to him. And how what a small piece of the pie, his brand, his personal brand, how little, you know, attention he paid to that, you know, in the beginning. And for maybe even like the first half here. And it was, you know, it's something we used to hold against Peyton Manning. Like, he's just worried about making commercials and he's just worried about selling himself. Brady's worried about winning. And now we get to this point and Brady, you know, is like selling every inch of his shirt. Like, he's a NASCAR, you know, he's just so brand conscious. He changed. But it just looks so bad.
Right.
Because he was so good about it early on. He's just acting like everybody else now. Like, he's just one of many of these high-profile athletes that are maximizing his brand. He's doing what everybody else does.
It happens to all of them. I mean, it was eventually going to happen with this guy, too.
But it stands out for how long he...
Absolutely.
You know, how long he held off from doing it.
I mean, he was the model superstar for a long period of time. He really was. And so, you know, at the end, and even then, like, we sit here and we say at the end winning was as important. His last 2 years, they won the Super Bowl, went 12-4.
Right, exactly.
So it just goes to show you what a ridiculous standard we hold him to, which means we're spoiled too. Now, that said, he wasn't himself the last couple of years here. He just wasn't.
Paul in Maine. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hey, guys. Excuse me. Regarding the 20% pink hat demographic, Maz, I think you're pretty close. I think you're right about the younger fans as well. I mean, think about it, guys. The entire millennial generation only knows Brady, Belichick, and Super Bowl runs. We don't have any idea how these trophy-holding ribbon winners will react when the team falls back to the pack. I mean, they've never been asked to support an average team, let alone a losing one. Plus, don't forget about all the casual fans who jumped on board only when the Pats started winning in the first place. I just think a healthy number of people are too spoiled, soft, impatient, and too easily distracted to stick with an average team, and they'll bail.
Well, I mean, let's find out. And again, there's also a depth to which you can fall that I'm not going to blame. Like, the San Francisco 49ers fans that bailed on the Niners, I can't blame them. I mean, their ownership fell apart. The team and the organization, the franchise, became a freaking dumpster fire for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not blaming necessarily the Niners fans for not sticking through that. Or the Raiders. You know, the Raiders used to be just this... we talked about the Redskins. I mean, that's the best example.
Good one.
The Redskins were the Steeler fans and were the Packers fans. That was a... We spent days on this. That was a massive brand and a huge driving force. And the ownership of Dan Snyder has been so bad, he's left those fans with no choice but to bail on the team. And if that happens here, then I'm not going to blame you for... You know, Daniel Snyder and the Redskins don't deserve their fans' attention. And if it gets managed so poorly here, then I'd say the same thing about the Patriots. I'm just hoping that the Crafts, you know, as a family ownership, are going to be a hell of a lot better than Snyder. I'm pretty sure they will. And if they are, will you still be there? That's what I'm more worried about. But if the team blows so badly that they leave you no choice, and they leave you no choice, I'm not going to blame you there.
Well, look, all bets are off if that happens. I mean, you sort of bring it onto yourself. So, but the millennials, you know... I mean, I'm with Paul a little bit there. I do worry about this generation. And again, you know, maybe this is the parent, the a-hole parent in me talking. But I feel like millennials just can't handle any adversity. And so, you know, the first sign of 7-9, 8-8, boom, gone. It's over.
So, again, I think the Steelers fandom is kind of the model. You know, they won four in the 70s, four titles in the 70s. And since they've won, is it two or three? It's two. I think they've won two more since the 70s, and they've been to like three or four. So certainly, you know, they've won twice since, you know, in the last three, 4 decades. They've only won two championships. But pretty much year in, year out, pretty much, they're competitive. They're the Steelers, and the fans are passionate. It's still a thing, year in, year out. And they put a pretty good product on the field pretty much every year. Okay? Not exactly every year, but for the most part. And the Steeler thing is still going strong. It's the same as it was, as when I was a kid. Can you be the same thing? If the Patriots only win two championships in the next 20, 30 years, can we expect to be the Steeler fans? Can we expect that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I hope you're right.
I mean, yeah, but when you say can we expect it, I'm not predicting it. I'm telling you, is that a reasonable expectation? The answer is yes. Like if your team is, you know, winning, going 10-6 every year and you win a couple of more Super Bowls in the next 20 years, hell yeah.
Okay. Wayne and Grafton, quickly.
Yeah, what's going on today? People keep on calling up telling how old they are. It sounds like the dating game. Yeah, I'm Wayne and Grafton. I'm 73 years old and I have issues, just like the ball player. They have issues. Screw them. You know, life is tough. You can't lay on the couch in the fetal position and hope for the best. You got to get out there and live your life. Peace out.
Okay, Wayne, good to hear from you, man. Here comes the final word right after these words from our sponsors.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Nope. All right. One of the overwhelming themes of today's show is, why do you people continue to blow? You and the blow community going after Gary Myers after his report yesterday that there was some friction last year, or over the last couple of seasons, really, between Tom Brady and offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels.
What's the matter with you people? Why are you still fighting that?
It's the world we live in now.
Yeah, but he left. There was a divorce. Well, I mean, if all these reporters are just making it up, he's still here. Instead, he left. He left you. He divorced you. He dumped you. He left. And you're still going to fight it? What? Seriously? Are you people stupid or dense or just children? Like, I don't get you. How could you blow a reporter who says there were problems between Brady and his coach? He told you there was a problem between his coach because he left. His ass is gone. You're still fighting this? Oh, you poor, poor babies. Seriously. Good God. That's my first takeaway, Maz. I'm sorry. You had a thought in there?
No. So when you say stupid, dense, or childish, do I have to pick?
It's time to give it up. It's time to let go and acknowledge. Look, I'll even help you. I had it wrong. I had it wrong, too. I mean, I believed in the palace queue. I believed all the infighting. But I thought at the end of the day, it wouldn't be enough to drive Tom Brady out of here, that, as usual, they'd have their little spats, their little working disagreements, and then they'd get over them, and they'd all kiss and make up and come back for another year and be at each other's throats again. But that's just sort of how they were. That's what I thought was going to happen. I never thought it was this bad. I never thought it was this bad where Tom Brady had to go to Tampa? Had to go to Tampa? And Derek Jeter's little AstroTurf strip in his McMansion in effing Tampa, and you're still going to fight reporters who say there were problems here. What is the matter with you people? I mean, seriously, look at your roster. Look at Tampa's roster. There's your answer. Why don't you just give this one up? Give this one up. There were some issues here. I even underestimated them, and I was willing to dramatize them more than anyone. I didn't think they'd be enough to take Tom Brady into Tampa, but oh boy, was I wrong. There were issues here. Seriously, you're blowing Gary Myers. Let it go already.
The black community wants to blow anybody and everybody.
Fell guy, I don't believe it. I think it's a myth.
When I say let it go, when you just admit it. You had it wrong.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.